Well, hello. Today is April 17th, Friday. We are still in the octave of Easter, so happy Easter, happy octave of Easter. I hope you're enjoying it. No fasting today, no refraining from meat today, if you are accustomed to doing that on Fridays. Since we're in the octave, you don't have to do that. Today, I wanted to talk a little bit about early Christian symbols and art, just kind of talk about some symbols that were used, and you're probably familiar with many of these, but just talk a little bit about some of them. So let's talk about some things. So perhaps you've heard of the Cairo. It's a fairly common symbol. It looks like an X and a P put together. The P kind of transects the X, and they're kind of overlaid together. You may or may not know those are two Greek letters, and they are the chi, which is the cross shape, and the rho is the P shape, and they are the first two letters of Christos, or Christ. So those two letters put together have often been seen to represent Christ or point to Christ, so you'll see those in different things. Even today, it's very common to see chiros on vestments or on altars or on sometimes the book of the Gospels or different things, but it's a representative of Christ. So that's the Cairo. Another one with letters that you may or may not be familiar with is the IHS. Again, this points to Christ. There's different forms, but usually its meaning it comes from the letters of Christ's name translated into Latin. So in the Greek, it would have been iota, eta, sigma, which looks like a I, H, and then a Z or a S kind of E-shaped thing. We don't really have a corresponding letter in English to the sigma, but and so when it was Latinized, it became IHS or IHC, and the IHS was popularized later by Saint Bernardine in his preaching. I believe that was in the 14th century or so. Then finally, the Jesuits kind of used it as one of their symbols, so that's probably why it has continued in popularity even today. But IHS basically is a symbol or a sign of Christ. So you'll see IHS again on altars, on vestments, different things, and it points to Christ, or it may or may not be pointing to that this is a Jesuit institution or something like that. So IHS is a fairly common thing these days. It wasn't super common in the early church, but it was. There are things like that in the catacombs. Next symbol I want to talk about is the anchor. We actually have an anchor in the St. Joe's Church here in Crosby. I believe it's in the confessional. And there's also the symbol of the anchor over the image where Peter is being pulled out of the water by Jesus in the stained glass window. So the anchor is a sign or a symbol of kind of being rooted in Christ. It's a sign of hope. Or that we have hope, our hope is rooted in Christ, and so that our hope roots us in our Lord. So the anchor is a sign of hope for eternal life and so forth. So the anchor was a fairly common thing in the early days of the church. It also sort of somewhat symbolized a cross. If they lived in places where a cross couldn't be shown explicitly, it was a way to kind of show, really all of these symbols can be ways to kind of show your faith in a disguised way. So the anchor is a symbol of hope. Next, there's the image of the Good Shepherd. I don't know how different that is. I mean, I don't see too many places where you have Good Shepherds, but common theme in the Old Testament, Psalm 23, different places where God is compared to the shepherd, and then Jesus himself is the Good Shepherd. So the Good Shepherd represents again Christ and our Good Shepherd who comes after us in our need or carries us on our shoulders or takes care of us. So you'll see images of the shepherd all throughout the time of Christianity from the very early days up until the present day. Next, we have the fish symbol. You probably see this. It's still a fairly common thing today. For a while, it was a sort of a test. You could draw part of half of the fish symbol, and then somebody else would draw the other half, supposedly, and that would kind of help you understand, okay, this person is a Christian. I don't know how true that is, but that's a story that's told, or something that I've heard in the past. It's a symbol of fish, and in Greek, the word fish, I understand, is ichthys. I think that's how you say it. That in itself, there were different words that were kind of associated with that, and the Greek letters and so forth. But basically, the sign of the fish is simply a sign of Christianity or a sign of faith, kind of pointing to that this person or this thing, whatever it's on, is a Christian thing. So you've probably seen the fish around. Next, I want to talk about the peacock. This one probably less known. It's in the early church, in the catacombs, you'll see images of the peacock, or even in secular art of that time, you see the peacock. It's a sign of immortality. So the peacock was thought to, the flesh of the peacock was thought to not rot. I don't know how they didn't figure that out, but so the peacock was a sign of immortality, and even the just the beauty of the bird, kind of pointing to the sense of being with our Lord. So peacock is an image of immortality, or sometimes just in secular art, it might be more of a sort of a prosperity or a doing well or sign of peace, that sort of thing. Next we have the dove. So the dove has many meanings. Probably most commonly we think of it as the Holy Spirit. You'll see this in different places in the catacombs, in art today, on vestments again, on anything that has to do with the Holy Spirit. So if you go to St. Peter's, there's a big amber window in the back. It's called the Holy Spirit window, and in the window is a dove. So you'll see the dove around different places, and kind of a sign of the Holy Spirit or peace. And it's meant to kind of, again, point us to our faith, that this person or this thing is a thing of Christianity. Next, you'll see people, an image of a person standing in the orans position. So the orans position is the position that the priest stands when he's praying the presidential prayers, which are the collect, the prayer over the offerings, the prayer after communion. So he stands with his hands kind of apart, like he does when we place our Father as well. And the position of the orans was a common pose representing prayer or union with God, or that this person was kind of connecting with our Lord or in union with our Lord. So the orans position is these days really it's a priestly pose or stance, or one that one does in prayer. It's kind of the hands open, raised to God, and sort of represents an intentional prayer with our Lord. And so you'll see in the old Christian art, you'll see the orans position in many places, especially in the catacombs. When I was there, I saw lots of images of the orans position. Next is the ship. Again, this one, lots of meanings, but you may have heard of the bark of Peter, or the sign of the church being the boat, and we're in the boat together. The church is the boat, kind of like Noah's Ark. That's the place of salvation. It's the place where in this world we're kind of being tossed about on the waves and so forth. So sometimes it's kind of an image of distress. Sometimes it's just an image of safety. But most of all, it just it symbolizes the symbol of being in the church or united to God and his chosen people. So the boat is that image, and you'll see again lots of boats or symbols of boats in Christian art, especially in the old ancient times, maybe less so these days, but still a common symbol that you will see in Christian art. Next is palm branches. So you'll see palm branches. So when we think of palms, we probably think of Palm Sunday, because that's the only time we really think of or use palms in our liturgy these days. But palm branches were also a sign of the martyrs. So oftentimes in Christian iconography, you'll see somebody either holding a palm, or there's a palm being offered to them or something like that, along with a crown perhaps, and that's sort of symbolizing martyrdom. So in images or pictures of somebody being martyred or somebody who is a martyr, you might see that little symbols to indicate that they are a martyr. Next you have the vines or the branches. You'll see this in lots of different things, maybe less so today, but obviously it goes back to John 15, the vine and the branches. You'll see clusters of grapes, or maybe just kind of vines wrapping around. There's an interesting church in Rome. It's called St. Clement, and in it there's an image of a vine kind of wrapping all around the apse of the church, which is the front of the church that's kind of rounded, kind of a half dome. And in that there's a vine, and within that vine there's like little images of saints and different things. So it's kind of this idea that Christ is the vine, and we are the branches of the vine, or the fruit on the vine. So you'll see the vine and the branches. All right, let's look at a few other different things. You'll see sometimes let's see, what haven't we covered yet? Well, the cross, obviously. You know, in the early, when the cross became part of Christian iconography, it wasn't necessarily something that right away was seen as something that was unique to Christianity, because the cross was a Roman punishment. So lots of people went to the cross or on the cross. But later, especially in the medieval period, the cross became something where people started to identify with the cross or have crucifixes in their homes or in the church or whatever, because it helped help them identify with the suffering Jesus, because believe it or not, wasn't always the case that people felt happy about how things are going and everything. And so sometimes we identify more with the suffering Christ than with Christ resurrected or Christ raised from the dead and so forth. So these are all different symbols that kind of help us understand our faith, or you'll see in Christian art. There's lots and lots of other ones, but these are just some basic ones. And if you're an artist or you're looking at art, you might notice some of these things as you look at them, because there's different ways that people try to identify images or what's happening to help show what this person is or who they are or what's going on in their life. So those are just some things to ponder and maybe to think about as you look at Christian symbols. And I think it's always beautiful to bring these sort of symbols into our Christian churches and use them to kind of enrich the space. So hopefully this is somewhat interesting, and it's a little different topic, but anyway, God bless you and have a blessed day. Thanks.